Sunday in Lent. We're moving right along. Now, depending on your perspective of Lent, some of us might be tired of thinking about over and over again that we need to repent. But the thing of it is that repentance is not a one-time thing. It's something we have to do on a regular basis because, obviously, we sin on a regular basis. So it's important to repent. And Jesus emphasizes the importance of repentance in a way that's not quite like Jesus. He's not that kind of, not so warm and fuzzy in this passage. His audience that he's speaking to, well, they're concerned because there was a group of Galileans that were slaughtered. We don't know any details about it. History is just void of much else. And then those that were killed in Siloam. And the people wanted to understand. They wanted to know what the deal was. And they were angry because our buddy Pontius Pilate, had taken the bodies of those, the Galileans, and put them on the sacrificial altar along with animal sacrifice. And that was so not cool. We do know that it was the Roman Empire that did the slaughtering, but like I say, we really don't know why or the details. So we don't know the details of the killing, but it was very painful to those who were gathered there with Jesus. And the idea of mixing the blood with martyrs and the blood of sacrificial animals, as I said, was not well received. I said it was uncool. So perhaps uncool is a little bit too casual to describe Pilate's transgression. Whatever the details of the event, the result is a very upset audience. In response, Jesus reminds them that suffering is not a result of sin. There's no connection between how much one suffers and how much one sins. There is no corollary between the seriousness of sin and the level of suffering that one experiences. Jesus also makes it clear that sin cannot go unchecked. It's essential to acknowledge and repent of the sin that we commit. A couple of weeks ago, I touched on some things that we might give up for Lent. Resentment, anger, judging others, judging ourselves. But then also suggested that we put something in that the place of those emotions, those feelings, kindness, forgiveness, things that we might not think about to offer to people we don't like. It's kind of hard sometimes to be nice to somebody that has done you wrong or that you don't like. Like I said, forgiveness is not a one-time thing. So this is one of those parables, I don't know about you, but this is one of those parables where I really wish there was a study guide, not written by modern theologians, but written by Luke, if you will. But basically, when we look at this, the context is that Jesus is speaking with these people who are extremely upset about what happened with the sacrifice. And then after he talks to the crowd and talks about forgiveness and sin and how important it is to repent in order to continue the journey to everlasting life. There's more about that that I could say, but then it would kind of melt over into the gospel according to Barbara. And I don't think I want to go there today. So he tells the parable about the fig tree in the vineyard and how he came looking for fruit and found none. So he asked the gardener what was going on, and the gardener asked for forgiveness for the tree, if you will, and asked to give him a chance of a year to tend to the tree especially and see if it would bear fruit. And if not, then it would be cut down. Now, 3 years already, the scripture says, 3 years already, the fig tree has had three chances to bear but has failed. This is not a new thing of Jesus, you know, of the gardener and the owner of the vineyard, to come and see this tree. This has been going on for a while. So it's not like this random thought that Jesus had, oh, that thing's ugly and dead, cut it down. Get rid of it. It's taking up space. So we don't know what happened the next year. Wouldn't it be nice if it said the next year the tree was full of figs and it was glorious and it had, you know, but it doesn't tell us that. So sometimes we just have to be satisfied with what it is that Jesus says and live into it and think about it and pray on it and discern it rather than having an exact explanation. But this parable definitely highlights God's patience and the opportunity for us to repent and be transformed. So a few little things I found interesting as I was looking at this parable. And some of the symbolism I think is interesting, so I thought I would share some of it with you, even though by no means do I have an explanation or an interpretation of this parable. The fig tree might represent Israel, the people of God, those who claim to follow God. Sometimes, as followers of God, we don't bear fruit. The owner represents God, and he provides opportunities and resources for growth. I think that over and over again, God gives us opportunities that we don't necessarily take advantage of. And then the gardener, he represents Jesus, who intercedes and offers grace and opportunities for repentance. And every day we have a chance to listen to Jesus and then to examine ourselves, figure out what it is that we need to consider and to repent about. Every day. For me, sometimes more than once a day. So the parable kind of is a warning that those who don't bear fruit to live a life of faith and obedience will be cut down, will be judged. It also highlights God's grace and God's willingness to give people and to give the fig tree another chance, a chance to repent and to bear fruit. Part of repentance for us, for me, is the fact that when we do it intentionally. We consider what we're repenting for, and we make a commitment to God and ourselves to not sin that way again. I'm about 30% successful on that, the not sinning again part. The parable also reminds us about the importance of spiritual growth and how we actively pursue a life of grace and hope rather than just sitting around saying, I'm a Christian. It's important that we remain faithful to God no matter what. Sometimes the things that happen in our lives that we kind of think might come from God, maybe we need to re-examine. And we need to know and understand and believe that God's love for us is so abounding. There's no room for God to dislike or hate us. It's not God's fault. Whatever happens in our lives is not God's fault. We know that God is patient. He's willing to give all of us time to take heart and repent and change our behavior. And in this passage today, it's not just a little bit, but a whole lot clear that we who are not bearing fruit do need to repent and seek God's grace. So that's the best I can do with this parable today. Again, I still have questions about it, and I don't necessarily think it's one of my favorites, I guess because I don't fully understand it. Sometimes I want all the answers, and I want them now, by the way. I want to know and understand all of what Jesus says. I want it to be all crystal clear. I don't want to have one translation say this and another translation say that. I want to know what Jesus said and what Jesus meant. But that's not what we got. That means we have to do some work. We have to study. We have to discern. We have to pray in order to gain insight into what it is that Jesus said. It's our human nature to want to know everything right now. It is not our human nature to wait. At least I don't wait very well. But we're going to have some waiting to do in the next little bit. And there's a great passage, and it's a song that says, faith will rise when we wait upon the Lord. Put that in the back of your mind, because that's going to be something we'll talk about next week. At some point, we have to stop. We have to trust God, and we have to let God be God. Amen. Please stand. Join me in the words of the Nicene Creed. We believe in one God,
the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord, Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten not made, of one being with the Father. Through him all things were made. For us and for our salvation, he came down from heaven. By the power of the Holy Spirit, he became incarnate from the Virgin Mary and was made man. By our Savior, he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day, he rose again in accordance with the Scriptures. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son. With the Father and the Son, he is worshipped and glorified. He has spoken through the prophets. We believe in one holy Catholic and apostolic church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen.
Prayers of the People. Father, we pray for your holy Catholic Church. Grant that every member of the Church may truly and humbly serve you. We pray for all bishops, priests, and deacons.
That they may be faithful ministers of your word and sacraments.
We pray for all who govern and hold authority in the nations of the world.
That there may be justice and peace on the earth.
Give us grace to do your will in all that we undertake.
That our works may find favor in your sight.
Have compassion on those who suffer from any grief or trouble.
That they may be delivered from their distress.
Give to the departed eternal rest.
Let the light of perpetual shine upon them.
We praise you for your saints who have entered into joy.
May we also come to share in the heavenly kingdom.
Let us pray for our own needs and those of others, especially Chris Barden, Bob Carpenter, Dawn Dickerson, Marion Elam, Keith, Sam Eveling, Bob Flagg, Barbara Rayner Guerrero, Tip Harrison, Nancy Lloyd, Nancy Lentz, Beth Long, Celia Luxmore, Joanne Perry, Joanne and Roberta, Nell Teffler and Bella Teffler, Keely Walker, Jill Wells, Robin Wolford and family, Buffy Wright, Dale Wright, Tobin and his ministry, the Blue Ridge Retirement Community, Kingdom Life Ministries, Kara Gray, and any others that may be on your heart at this time. We pray to you also for the forgiveness of our sins. Have mercy upon us, most merciful Father. In your compassion, forgive us our sins, known and unknown, things done and left undone, and so uphold us by your Spirit, that we may live and serve you in the newness of life, to the honor and glory of your name, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.